Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I take as my point of departure verse 20 of today's text. Now the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet in haste. Instead of referring to mutuality and coexistence between groups in the Roman Church, this passage promises the type of peace that follows holy warfare, annihilating opponents. Paul could have taken the image of crushing a foe underfoot from the language of martial victory in both the Hebrew and Greco-Roman traditions. For example, the familiar refrains from Psalm 110 of making the Messiah's enemies a footstool, and Psalm 8 of placing all things under his feet, echo throughout the New Testament in a manner I cannot do full justice to here. Psalm 91:13 promises that with God's assistance, the elect will tread upon dangerous serpents and wild beasts. Then there are the scenes familiar to Paul's Roman audience in particular, such as that of the victorious gladiator placing his foot on the neck of a vanquished opponent, either to dispatch him quickly or let him live. Another part of Jewish history, likely well known to Paul's Roman audience, was Judas Maccabeus' pre-battle harangue before fighting a numerically superior foe. And the Lord himself will crush them, sun tripse autus, before our face. 1 Maccabees 3:22. Sun tripse is the same form of the verb exactly that Paul uses in today's appointed text. I think, on balance, however, that the passage Paul most likely had in mind were the words of the Proto-Evangelium, Genesis 3:15. Following the serpent's deception of the woman Eve and Adam's complicit sin, the Lord God placed a curse upon the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and he himself shall watch thy head, and thou shalt watch his heel. The Septuagint's watch for the Masoretic text bruise or trample upon is the only disjuncture. Otherwise, Genesis 3:15 forms a perfect bridge between the ancient struggle between the satanic lie and Christ's crushing victory over Satan, a victory that all the saints share in, according to Paul's promise here. Just as Adam and Eve were deceived in the garden by the persuasions of the serpent, so Christians at Rome were at risk of certain heretical groups that were causing dissensions and stumbling blocks contrary to the teaching which you learned. Likely, Paul had not been to Rome yet when he wrote the epistle. Nevertheless, he knew the lay of the land there and had many contacts. All the named Christians of chapter 16 were dear to him, and he refers to them in the most positive tones in today's text. Your obedience, he says, has reached unto all. Therefore, I rejoice over you. But the very saintliness of the saints was part of the danger posed to the Roman church from the belly servers that attracts Paul's concern here. For through their plausible speech and false eloquence, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Naive is how the ESV renders akakos, literally not wicked. Bedag offers innocent or guileless as possible definitions, or here, unsuspecting. This is how Adam and Eve were in the garden before the serpent tricked them, and how Paul paints the Roman Christians now. So Paul counsels his beloved Romans, I want you to be wise toward what is good and innocent toward what is evil. This recalls Paul's earlier statement that the Corinthians should be infants in regard to evil, but adults in their way of thinking. 1 Corinthians 14:20. Or Jesus' still more poignant remark that the 12 should go out shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Matthew 10. Innocence, then, but not simple naivete. No, Paul's is an encouragement for Christians caught between the two eons, with one foot set in heaven, as it were, and in transit to that far country through our baptismal incorporation into Christ and his victory over sin and the malevolent forces, yet with the other foot set firmly on earth amid its problems, sins, and issues. And don't live after the pattern of this ion, Paul exhorts the Roman Christians in Romans 12, verse 2, but be transformed, be transfigured, metamorphosed, by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me attempt to place this encouragement into our current context. Most of you are pastoral or diaconal students, and so in the midst of a testing, dokimazein, of what is the will of God. Mention of God's will puts one in mind of the "Thy will be done" petition from the Lord's Prayer. Paul could have dropped to thelema with that association in mind. And Luther's explanation that God's will is done on earth when God breaks and hinders every evil counsel and will, which would not let us hallow God's name nor let his kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the world, and our flesh. Could this be a description of your seminary career? Christians, you are already, and perhaps lifelong, but you've been sent to this place to be able to test the spirits, to see whether they be of God, and to wield the spiritual gifts with power. Naively innocent should not be said of you when you leave this place, but you shall be set in positions to share Christ's victory, to rejoice in his spoil, to bind the strong man, and in Christ's name to plunder his house. Note how Paul concludes the encouragement here. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet in haste. The God of peace is the one who raised Jesus from the dead, according to Hebrews 13:20. If it's not a Christological title, and there's good evidence for that in several places where this phrase occurs, he shall crush Satan under your feet in haste. Of course, "you're" referred originally to the Christians in Rome, yet the word is heard in your hearing too, where Christ delivers his gifts. In haste. Every commentator points out here that Paul believed the imminent consummation of the eschaton. But to put it in our terms, your ministry in Christ's name is about to commence, and very soon. Very soon, in only a few measly weeks or months or years, you will be absolving sinners in Christ's name, preaching the word, driving out Satan. When at some point in the future the death blow is dealt to abortion, that great wickedness in our land, the good theological thinking, the binding of Satan and releasing of sinners from his grip, could happen by way of a CTS graduate speaking in Christ's name. Unlikely, you think, But stranger things have happened. I will speak thy testimonies before kings and not be put to shame. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.